So again, I'm from Iowa State, and my advisor, Antonio Mallarino, who wishes he could be here today, but is not, unfortunately, worked on this project. So my goal was to calibrate a weak acid extractant with our current methods used in Iowa. And the first question comes to mind is why we want to report on these values and why we want to report on this project. As we've already heard once today about interest in measuring and quantifying soil health as a parameter, and then what metrics go into that, this idea of soil health, or how are we classifying soils as healthy soils, and then what role does phosphorus play within this this grand concept. And so within one soil health assessment tool, a weak acid extraction is being used as the predominant method to extract phosphorus. It's also being used to extract potassium as well, but I'll focus on phosphorus today. And so we want to talk about, will this test effectively assess phosphorus sufficiency? Specifically, I'll be talking about Iowa today, but in general, how can we predict yield response from these values that we're getting from the test? And then we also know that there's benefits to calibrating and correlation and calibration process for determining nutrient recommendations through the testing process. And we really want to apply that to a test that's been requested by farmers and that's available through labs in the region. And especially with our current agronomic economical situation within the Midwest, I think it's very important that we stress efficient and accurate soil test methods when those are going out and being used in fertilizer recommendations. So I'm going to go through a quick overview of the routine soil tests that are used in Iowa, and especially I want to go through in in-depth the modes of action, so to speak, that our tests are applying to the phosphorus forms within the soil. Today I'll be talking about the Malich 3 test, Bray P1, and Olson as well. Those have all been calibrated for phosphorus within Iowa, and so we can make recommendations off of those tests. In the Malich 3, obviously, it's a diluted strong acid test with a complexing agent. We look at nitric acid, ammonium fluoride, acetic acid, and the EDTA have important roles that we look at each fraction or phosphorus form, chemical speciation in the soil. And then we're also trying to buffer that pH at about 2.5. So obviously, when we look at comparisons with others, and you'll see that today, traditionally our Malich 3 extracting solution within tests has extracted more phosphorus. Looking at the Bray method that I'll also be correlating as well, especially with the hydrochloric acid, we don't tend to promote those on calcareous soils, especially in Iowa and other regions of the Midwest. However, there are a fair amount of producers that are having fertility recommendations made off the Bray and Malich, and that's also why both Bray and Malich tests have the same calibration responses when we consider fertility recommendations within the state. And then using sodium bicarbonate within the Olson test, we can look at our modes of action there. Bicarbonate replaces the adsorbed P, and the role of hydroxide and sodium is seen there as well. And these really I want to stress because I think the differences in the chemistry of these extractions is what's going to come to play when we find the results later in this presentation. So a quick overview on weak organic acid extractants. This really isn't a new concept, although being applied more frequently today. We've seen citric acid being applied in England in the late 1800s. Organic acids have the ability, especially with their chemical dissociation constants, being able to complex certain metals that would naturally bond with phosphorus in the soil. Typically, they're extracting less P compared to the routine tests that we employ today. And as you can see, acetic acid, citric acid, and lactic acid was used in the early 1900s. In some northeastern states, the modified Morgan is still implied. And that essentially uses ammonium hydroxide and acetic acid. And then there also are a few countries in Europe that and South America that still employ the Egner method. So getting on to the extracting solution that I studied within this project, so it's part of the soil health assessment tool. I think most people refer to it as the Haney soil health assessment tool or just the soil health assessment tool in this region. Important to grant that many soil health assessments or packages are available around the country. And so it does depend on, it seems, in your geography, where what's being promoted and what growers are requesting as well. And so I'll refer to it as the H3A extracting solution. It was talked about in Haney et al. In 2006, 10, and again 16, looking at the correlations between other tests as well. Throughout those published sources, the formulation has changed a little bit, so I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of the formulation that was used for this study, and that was what was recommended in the most recent paper, and what is recommended in many commercial labs within the Midwest. So the objectives of this study were to look at how this H3A P test correlates to the P test currently used in Iowa, and then to correlate a colorimetric version or colorimetric run test for the H3A extractant with corn and soybeans in response to P, to soil P. So this was done. This is a preliminary data set, but this was done over 96 site years. We had 6 locations within the state of Iowa, covering many soil associations. However, as we know about Iowa soils, compared to some other regions, we don't always have quite the diversity of some other regions. Most of these would classify as mollic soils, so we have pretty consistent textures. We took 15 centimeter sampling depths. These are out of some very long-term P experiments that look at P placement, and then also different types of tillage practices. Again, this was for corn and soybeans. And the organic matter of these soils ranged between 2.4 to 5.8 milligrams per kilogram of soil, and the pH ranged from 5.4 to 6.6. A very important part of this data set is looking at the soil pH. When we're looking at the tests that that are going to be statistically analyzed, I think if you were to look at soils that become more alkaline, above 7.2, you might see some different trends, and that has been reported as well. So the methods that were used throughout this study, we kept things very consistent, and samples were dried at 40 degrees C to pass a 2-millimeter sieve. The soil solution ratio was what is recommended for the Bray, Malik, and Olson, and then for the H3A extractant, it was a 1 to 10 soil solution ratio as well. The extractions were 5 minutes for the Malik and Bray, 10 for the H3A, and then 30 minutes for our Olson test. They were filtered and then determined by colorimetric method. The relative yield that you'll see reported was calculated with the control yield divided by the non-limiting yield multiplied by 100. And then linear plateau, quadratic plateau, and exponential models were fit to the data. However, I'll show the best fit models. And for the H3A extracting solution, I will show all the models that were fit. So these first figures, we look at the correlations of the amount of extracted P to our routine tests. And these really didn't come to a great surprise. We know that with the history of organic acids, they have the ability to extract P to a certain extent. We expected the slope of these curves the direction that were reported to really come back as these, because this for the routine tests, we've seen these correlations fairly standard. For the H3A versus the routine tests, we actually saw a fairly strong correlation between our routine tests as well. Obviously, the strongest relationship was with the Olson test. However, when comparing the Bray and Malik, really we're not seeing too bad of a relationship there. When we now correlate the routine test to yield, these values, especially for this data set, are a little varied from what's seen across the state, because of in general we have a fairly restricted data set compared to the whole state. So when looking at our critical concentrations for the exponential models, we saw that the Malik 3 had a 13 milligram per kilogram, the Bray 1 had a 12.5, and the Olson had an 8. This trend is very similar to what we've always seen throughout the state at this point with our recommendations. Now coming to the critical concentration for the H3A extractant. As you can see, the models fit had very, very low R-squared values, and so the big question is, can we take this test and make fertility recommendations, especially pee recommendations off of it. Because that's really what a topic to address is that if recommendations in the country are being made with this test, how accurate and how confident are we that that those recommendations are sound? And really, we see a trend similar within the data points before applying the models. However, when the models are tried to fit the models, our critical concentrations fit well near the Olson levels. However, the models really don't have much consistency, and we really, I don't think, are able to separate and calibrate this test for P recommendations. However, we can identify a critical concentration range to determine if the P levels are sufficient or insufficient within the soil. In conclusion, we did have a linear correlation with the routine test in the H3A. However, there was a fairly poor correlation between crop yield and the H3A extractant solution. The poor relationship between compared with the routine test means that, yes, we can identify sufficiency levels, but to really show levels of responsiveness and be able to make fertility recommendations off of the H3A extractant, I don't think we have the confidence in that yet. Looking ahead, we will add about 34 new trials into this data set with some higher P levels as well, and we'll be reporting those within the coming months. Thank you.
Questions for John?
Yep.
Can you go back to the yield versus H3A?
Yep.
So if you eliminate those two outliers, does your R squared get much better? I don't know if we should consider them outliers, but those two, you have 2 points at the top right there?
Yes. And so they were eliminated and our R squareds did not improve. And so this year we actually, so our fields are about half harvested right now to date, but we do have some significantly higher soil test P levels for the comparison of the extracting solutions. And so far that those trends are fitting pretty much the same. The R squareds don't really improve when taking those out.
Steve?
Yep.
Did you have R squareds listed for the previous slide for the...
Yes.
Other questions? Yes.
What do you think, since you were presenting a lot about the different chemistry of these extractions, what do you think it is about the H3A that is making it not perform as well in relation to the crop yield?
I really think it comes down when you break apart the. Let me just flip back quick. When you break apart to the components of the test, these. The pKa values of these acids are fairly low, and so I think when a reasoning behind wanting to use this is to simulate a more in situ soil test, right? Something that's not quite as strong, not quite as we say destructive on our soil samples. However, I really don't think that it is acting upon that borderline available and labile P that we are with our stronger tests. I especially think when you get to higher pH ranges, with the pKa values of these acids, we aren't dissociated enough, so we aren't replacing enough P.
Okay, join me in thanking John.